Hello, and welcome to Words on Film, the spoken word podcast dedicated to moving pictures. I'm Dan Burke, your host and movie critic, and I'm here to tell you exactly what I think of some of the latest movies out right now. This show is a special show because it is my annual pre-Oscar show. This is where I go over all of the Oscar nominees in all the categories, or all the categories that have not been called yet. There have been some honorary Oscars that have been awarded already. But what I do is I go through the categories and I give you the nominees and I tell you which ones I think are going to win. And in some cases, what will win and what should win, in my opinion. And I usually start the show off by going over the sciences categories, because those are actually the easiest for me to predict. Whenever I zone in on these science categories, I usually almost always get them correct. And they're, even when I don't get them correct, I don't get to the point where I get angry if I'm wrong. I mean, I get angry when I'm wrong, but I don't exactly necessarily think that the person or team who won the Academy Award for a given movie didn't deserve to win in science categories. So, we're going to start with the first science category, which is Best Achievement in Visual Effects. The nominees for this category are Godzilla Minus One, Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Napoleon, and The Creator. And interestingly enough, I am actually really surprised that Godzilla Minus One wasn't nominated for more categories besides the science categories. I think Godzilla Minus One could have been a shoe-in for Best International Feature. But then again, I'm going to try to not lament about which movies or which actors and so on didn't get nominated. My choice for Best Achievement in Visual Effects is Godzilla Minus One. And it does have some very valid competition for this category. The special effects in The Creator were amazing, and it was amazing how they made human actors look like androids. And Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 had a lot going on. As a matter of fact, I think that the Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3 was the only Marvel Cinematic Universe movie that came out that people didn't hate. But Godzilla Minus One, in my opinion, stood out the most because the way they made Godzilla look in the film was amazing and also really scary. And it shows how much special effects in movies have come so far from the original Godzilla movie of 1954. Of course, that's to be expected almost 70 years later, but Godzilla Minus One had a lot going for it. Its special effects, I think, were the best of the year, and that's why I predict that Godzilla Minus One will win the Oscar for Best Achievement in Visual Effects, and hopefully I'm right. Now on to the next science category, which is Best Achievement in Makeup and Hairstyling. I suppose this could also be an art, but in a sense, I consider it science, because it's a little bit more technical how this comes together. So, Best Achievement in Makeup and Hairstyling. The nominees for this category are Golda, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Poor Things, and Society of the Snow. Now, this is kind of a tough one because the makeup that they put on Bradley Cooper really made him look like the real Leonard Bernstein. However, Poor Things probably had the most noticeable makeup, especially on Willem Dafoe. Maybe not so much on the normal-looking people in this movie like Emma Stone and Mark Ruffalo, but I really loved the way, even though I didn't love the movie Poor Things, I did love the way they made Willem Dafoe look, almost like a patchwork scientist. But then again, I have not seen Golda, and I have not seen Society of the Snow, but my prediction for what will win Best Achievement in Makeup and Hairstyling will probably be Poor Things. And one of the things I know about this category is that they usually give this award to the most ostentatious in the makeup category. In hairstyling, I'm not exactly sure if members of the Academy actually pay attention to how hair is styled. I mean, it's good to kind of lump the two categories together into one category, but do people really pay attention to hair, and does that really matter in the grand scheme of things? I don't exactly know, but in terms of makeup, my prediction is that Poor Things is going to win, with a potential upset by Maestro. But not even Oppenheimer has a chance in this category. Now moving on to Best Sound. For Best Sound, the nominees are Maestro, Mission Impossible Dead Reckoning Part 1, Oppenheimer, The Creator, and The Zone of Interest. Now, truth be told, of these five movies, the one I think had the best sound was actually The Zone of Interest. And The Zone of Interest is one of those movies where the really bad stuff takes place off screen. But there are some horrific sounds that speak volumes about what's going on off screen. And I think that the Academy should take that into consideration. As for the other films, of course, Maestro had some great sound with Leonard Bernstein's musical orchestras. Oppenheimer had the distinctive best sound of there being a large atomic boom, literally. But I don't think that one ostentatious sound effect for Oppenheimer will win it over in this category, but then again, I could be wrong. Oppenheimer is probably going to win big in many categories on Oscar night, March 10th, 2024, but I think the award should go to The Zone of Interest. So The Zone of Interest, in my opinion and my prediction, is going to be the film that will win and should win for Best Sound at the Academy Awards. Now on to Best Achievement in Costume Design. The nominees for this category are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Now, one thing I do know about the science categories, and yeah, costume, kind of like makeup, is technically an art, but I consider it a science category as well, but the popular films tend to win for the science categories. And that's why I think that Barbie will win Best Achievement in Costume Design, because the Barbie costumes are the ones you probably remember the best. Although Napoleon had a really good costume, or a team of costume designers made up of Janty Yates and David Crossman, who made the early 18th century France look as good, probably if not better, than Barry Lyndon from 1975, which was a box office failure. It was a critical success, but it did have four Oscars to its name, and one of them was Best Achievement in Costume Design. So Napoleon could possibly pull off an upset here, but I think this award is going to go to Barbie. Now, Best Achievement in Production Design. The nominees are Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Napoleon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. Now, even though I wasn't in love with the movie Poor Things, I gave it my rating of a checkout because I credited it for its energy and its originality. I just thought there were some lapses in editing that prevented it from being a great film, in my opinion. However, Barbie, I think, is going to win in this category again, not only because popular movies tend to win in the science categories, but also because the person who did the production design for Barbie obviously had an affinity for Barbie. Either that, or they really did their homework. And the production designers and set designers for Barbie were Sarah Greenwood and Katie Spencer. And I said in my review of Barbie, I don't understand how a house with no walls is a dream house, but that's my problem with Barbie. It's not my problem with the movie itself. And I do think that, to Barbie's credit, the movie served not only as a unique and original movie, but also as a very good tribute to the Barbie brand. And that's why I think that Barbie's going to win for Best Achievement in Production Design, with a possible upset by Poor Things. As a matter of fact, Poor Things is the movie that people take a little bit more seriously, but Barbie is the one that people do take seriously to a certain extent, but they also had a lot more fun with this one than they did with Poor Things. So that's why I think Barbie will win, and in my opinion should win, for Best Achievement in Production Design. Welcome back to Words on Film, the spoken word show dedicated to moving pictures. I am your host and movie critic, Dan Burke, and I am continuing with my Oscar predictions, and this time it's in the science categories. And I have a prediction for Best Achievement in Film Editing. That's the next category here. And this might be this year the hardest to predict. But the nominees for this category are Anatomy of a Fall, film editing by Lauren Seneschal, I must have pronounced that name incorrectly, but continuing on. Killers of the Flower Moon, editing by Thelma Schoonmaker. Oppenheimer, editing by Jennifer Lame, or Lame, I don't know. Poor Things, editing by Yorgos Masvroufarsis. And The Holdovers, editing by Kevin Tent. So, of these five nominees, I am really, really hoping that Poor Things does not win. And the reason I say that is because it should have been better established in the very beginning of this film that Emma Stone's character was a brain transplant and not a mentally handicapped human being. And the movie, in the very beginning, gives you that idea before it's revealed later on that she's actually a brain transplant, which explains her behavior. But I really think that that was a fault on the editor of this film, and I think that was Poor Things' biggest weakness. But of these five categories, I think that the editing in Oppenheimer by Jennifer Lame, or which might be pronounced Lame, and if it is pronounced Lame, then an Oscar win for her will be a great way for her to get back at the people in high school who made fun of her last name, if that's her maiden name and not her married name. I would imagine that if it was her married name, then she couldn't help that. But in any event, so Best Achievement in Film Editing, my prediction for this one is Oppenheimer. Moving on to the next category, Best Achievement in Cinematography. And this is another category where there are some very strong nominees. The nominees are El Conde, cinematography by Edward Lachman. Killers of the Flower Moon, cinematography by Rodrigo Prieto. Maestro, cinematography by Matthew Libatic. Oppenheimer, cinematography by Hoyt von Hoytema. And Poor Things, cinematography by Robbie Ryan. So, I've been saying before, Poor Things was not a movie I was in love with. It didn't make my top 10 this year, and I don't regret not putting it in my top 10. But it did have some very strong cinematography, and it had probably some very showy cinematography as well, as there were some shots that looked like they were filmed from out of a peephole in a door. And that was the intended effect. I thought that was unique. Killers of the Flower Moon, I also thought, had some unique cinematography as well, and some great cinematography, especially towards the end. But my guess is that Oppenheimer is going to walk away with this award, especially when you consider that Oppenheimer is primarily from the point of view, either consciously or subconsciously, of J. Robert Oppenheimer. And there were some startling cinematography effects in this film, especially when J. Robert Oppenheimer's team creates the atomic bomb and a little while after it lands on Hiroshima. And the conflict that J. Robert Oppenheimer has as he is contemplating the suffering he inevitably caused, that was achieved by not only great acting on Cillian Murphy's part, but also by the great cinematography that really details this sort of conscious killer. So Oppenheimer, cinematography by Hoyt von Hoytema, is probably going to win in my prediction Best Cinematography, with a possible upset by either Robbie Ryan for Poor Things or Rodrigo Prieto for Killers of the Flower Moon. This is a really strong category, though, so this is another one that is very hard to predict. Welcome back to Words on Film, the spoken word show dedicated to moving pictures. I am your host and movie critic, Dan Burke, and I just went through the science categories of the Oscars this year, and now moving in to the arts. Although the screenplay categories might be considered one way or another arts, it could also be science, and of course there usually is not an Academy Award-worthy movie without a great screenplay. So in a sense, it's a science. I don't exactly know. But either way, it's a topic that really interests me. So I'm going to start with Best Adapted Screenplay for this segment right here, as I go from the science categories right into the arts. So for Best Adapted Screenplay, the nominees are American Fiction, written by Cord Jefferson, Barbie, written by Greta Gerwig and Noah Baumbach, Oppenheimer, written by Christopher Nolan, Poor Things, written by Tony McNamara, and The Zone of Interest, written by Jonathan Glazer. And when I say written by, I mean the people who wrote the screenplays, not the people who wrote the original source material upon which the screenplays are based. And I said before that Barbie shouldn't be in this category. I think it could have been a shoo-in for Best Original Screenplay. Because yes, Barbie is a property that was created over 70 years ago. But the story itself was original. It was Noah Baumbach and Greta Gerwig came up with it themselves using previously established characters. I think for that reason, because it is an original story, it should be in Best Original Screenplay, not Best Adapted Screenplay. And honestly, of these five categories, the movie that I think will win, or should win, I should say, is American Fiction. Because not only was it a very strong screenplay, but it also had ways of subverting the ideas of stories, particularly those written by African Americans, and the way that they are popularized and also artistically compromised. And I think that the way this movie ended was actually really brilliant. And I'm not going to give away exactly what happened when it ended, but it was not your conventional ending for this film. And it may have deviated from its original source material. But I don't know because I haven't read the book upon which American Fiction is based. But what movie do I think will win? I think it's going to be Oppenheimer. I think Oppenheimer is going to get a lot of Oscars, and I think that this movie, especially since it was a big hit, making literally over $1 billion all around the world, the reason it was such a big hit, granted, Barbie kind of helped Oppenheimer because there were people who saw Oppenheimer who otherwise would have gone directly to see Barbie and just left the theater, but a lot of people stayed the entire 3 hours through Oppenheimer because it told a great story. So the movie that I think should win is American Fiction. The movie that I think will win is Oppenheimer. Moving on to Best Original Screenplay. For this category, the nominees are Anatomy of a Fall, written by Justine Triet and Arthur Harari, Maestro, written by Bradley Cooper and Josh Singer, May-December, written by Sammy Birch and Alex Mechanic, Past Lives, written by Celine Song, and The Holdovers, written by David Hemmingson. And to choose what's going to win the Best Original Screenplay here, it might be kind of tough because all five of these movies are really strong contenders. And Past Lives is one of those films that is getting a little bit more support because of the certain snubs that this movie received, or didn't, or rather, the snubs it basically was looked over for for some of its categories, like, for example, Best Actress. But the movie that I think should win Best Original Screenplay is The Holdovers. And I'm not just saying that because I was a resident of Massachusetts for 11 years. And as a matter of fact, there was a place, there was a restaurant in my hometown, or rather my home of Roslindale, Massachusetts, that was used in this film. And when I saw Paul Giamatti and Dominic Sessa sitting in this restaurant, I immediately thought to myself, that is so cool. I've eaten pizza there so many times. And it was great to see that. But on top of that, I was actually very surprised as I was leaving the theater, and I later did my research for the show, that The Holdovers was not based on a book, because it's a movie that holds literary arts in high regard, very much like a lot of John Irving stories. And it felt like a movie that might have been written as a book, let alone as a screenplay, by John Irving or Tobias Wolff or one of those other authors who writes a lot about private schools and some of the coming of age of the people who attend them. But I honestly don't know if one of these other films are going to pull off an upset. The Holdovers is the movie that I think will win. And it should win. And I'm going to go out on a limb and say that it will win. I almost said that it will win. I'm going to go on a limb and say that it should win. But The Holdovers, I think, will win. And there could be a potential upset by Past Lives. Maybe Anatomy of a Fall 2, but I think The Holdovers has this one. So now that we've gotten through the movies that are in the category of screenplay, now it's time to get into some of the other categories that are the actual films, besides Best Picture. As a matter of fact, I'm probably going to save Best Picture for last, but I'm going to start with the Best International Feature Film. For this category, which is the easiest to predict, the nominees are Io Capitano, which is from Italy, Perfect Days, which is from Japan, Society of the Snow, which is from Spain, The Teacher's Lounge, which is from Germany, and The Zone of Interest, which is from the United Kingdom. So the movie that's going to win is going to be The Zone of Interest. I'm actually kind of surprised, and I don't know why this is. I don't know why Anatomy of a Fall and Past Lives were not nominated for Best International Feature Film. Although I do have to say, Past Lives does take place partly in America, and Celine Song was raised partly in America. So that's probably how it was disqualified for Best International Feature Film. The Anatomy of a Fall movie was nominated in so many other categories, it's really kind of surprising that it was bypassed for Best International Feature Film. But because The Zone of Interest was also nominated for Best Picture, and deservingly so, it's going to win for Best International Feature Film. I am 99.9% sure. And which one of these other films could potentially pull off an upset? I don't exactly know, because truthfully, I haven't seen any of these other films. But moving on to the short subjects. And this is one that I actually did cover in length and in great detail 2 weeks ago. So Best Documentary Short Film, I'm just going to go through these and I'm just going to tell you what I think is the best and what I think should win. And maybe what will win, I guess, but honestly, the short films are the most accessible to me. They're the ones that I make it a point to see, but also I get at least one of them wrong every year. But Best Documentary Short Film, the nominees are Island in Between by S. Leo Chiang and Zhang Tian, Nai Nai and Wai Po by Sean Wang and Sam A. Davis, The ABCs of Book Banning by Sheila Nevins and Trish Adlesic, The Barber of Little Rock by John Hoffman and Christine Turner, and The Last Repair Shop by Ben Proudfoot and Chris Bowers. So for all these films, it is an honor to be nominated. I think that The Last Repair Shop is going to win. And even though all these films are great, and it kind of is like choosing my favorite child, in a sense, if I had children. The last repair shop, I think, is the best of these five because I think it tells the most complete story in its limited time frame of all of these. But The Barber of Little Rock was actually my second favorite of the year. So The Last Repair Shop, I think, will win. I think it should win. And The Barber of Little Rock could pull off a potential upset. Moving on to the category of Best Live Action Short Film. The nominees for this category are Invincible by Vincent René Lorte and Samuel Caron, Night of Fortune by Lasse Lejar-Noor and Christian Norlek, Red, White, and Blue by Nazarin Chowdhury and Sarah McFarlane, The After by Misan Harriman and Nikki Bentham, and The Wonderful World of Henry Sugar by Wes Anderson and Stephen Rails. I said this in my show 2 weeks ago. I think that Red, White, and Blue is the best of the five, and that's the one I think should win. The one that will win, I think, is probably going to be The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar. And the reason I say that is because, not necessarily because it is the most deserving to win, but it is the most ostentatious, it is the most star-studded, and Wes Anderson released a film last year that actually was in my top 10 best films of the year. That one was Asteroid City, that had an all-star cast in it, and it was nominated for absolutely nothing. And rest assured, some of the people who were in Asteroid City are members of the Academy, and I think that they might award Wes Anderson for Best Live Action Short Film in this category. However, I think they should nominate or choose Red, White, and Blue as the winner of this category. Not only because it is the best acted amongst the best of the live action short films, but it's also very timely and deals with a hot topic. But Brittany Snow turns in the best on-screen performance of her career in this film, and I really hope it's not overlooked. But if it is, The Wonderful Story of Henry Sugar is probably going to win, with a potential upset either by Red, White, and Blue, which I hope will win, or The After. But I am predicting that I might be wrong in this instance. Now on to Best Animated Short Film. The nominees are Letter to a Pig by Tal Cantor and Amit R. Giselter, 95 Senses by Jerusha Hess and Jared Hess, Our Uniform by Yagani Moghadam, Pachyderm by Stephanie Clemen and Mark Rias, and War is Over by Dave Mullins and Brad Booker. Again, I'm going out on a limb here. I think the best animated short film of these five nominees is Letter to a Pig. Not only do I think that its animation style is unique and also great, but also it tells the best story, which is actually based on a true story. It also gives some perspective about people who didn't live through the Holocaust, hearing about somebody who did, somebody who hid out in a pig shelter in order to evade the Nazis, and did so obviously successfully because he lived to tell the tale. But it also gives you an understanding about some of the awakening that students who might take this for granted as just being ancient history would have to realize mentally in order to walk in the survivor's shoes. I think that Letter to a Pig is a film that tugs at the heartstrings. It has great animation. I think it should win, and I think it will win. But there could be a potential upset by War is Over, which was inspired by the music, or at least one of the songs, of John Lennon and Yoko Ono. But Letter to a Pig, I think, is the movie that will and should win.
Thank you.
Welcome back to Words on Film, the spoken word show dedicated to moving pictures. I am your host and movie critic, Dan Burke, continuing with my Oscar predictions, what I think will win and what I think should win. Now on to the Best Animated Feature Film, a very interesting category, no doubt. The nominees for this category are Elemental from Peter Sohn and Denise Rehm, Nimona from Nick Bruno, Troy Quain, Karen Ryan, and Julie Zachary, Robot Dreams from Pablo Berger, Ibon Cormenzana, Ignacy Estape, and Sandra Tapia, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse from Kemp Powers, Justin K. Thompson, Phil Lord, Christopher Miller, and Amy Pascal, and The Boy and the Heron from Hayao Miyazaki and Toshio Suzuki. And man, I gotta tell you, this category is tough. It's so tough, in fact, that I was driving here to do this show, and I was thinking to myself, which one of these movies will win or should win? I don't even know which one should win, in a sense, because all of them are really great films, and there's a lot going for them. Elemental has amazing animation where it seems like the world in which these elemental characters live looks real. That's how great the drawing is. But at the same time, it's from Disney, which has been having a very tough year in its animated and live action movies. Although Elemental was a marginal hit for Disney. It looked like it was going to flop in the first week, but eventually people started going to the film and they started to really enjoy it because it ended up being a hit. And then you have Robot Dreams, which hasn't been opened in wide release in the United States yet. It's a movie I saw recently, and I'm going to review it on a later show. Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is one of those films that was universally loved. I gave it my rating of a checkup because I didn't think it was as good as Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse. I thought it was a little too headstrong in its ambition, but I still enjoyed it to a certain extent. I just didn't love it the same way other people did. And The Boy and the Heron has the distinction of what is possibly going to be Hayao Miyazaki's final film. And I think for that reason, The Boy and the Heron is probably going to win Best Animated Feature. What should win? In my opinion, it probably should be Elemental. And the reason I say that is because not only does it tell an original story with some universal romantic comedy themes in it, but it's also a very poignant story, but it is also incredibly well animated and very, very original. It's certainly a win for Disney Pixar. And I think it's a movie that people will eventually come back to again and again. I think Elemental should win. I think The Boy and the Heron will win. And this is a category where I probably expect that I could be wrong. Because another thing is, Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse is a sequel to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the latter of which won Best Animated Feature when it came out back in 2019. And even though I didn't predict it would win, I still thought, in the grand scheme of things, it deserved to win. Do I think that Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse deserves to win because its predecessor did? In my opinion, no, but it's still worth noting. So now on to Best Documentary Feature, and the truth of the matter here is I don't have a clue what's going to win, so I'm just going to read you the nominees. The nominees are 20 Days in Mariupol, Bobby Wine, The People's President, Four Daughters, The Eternal Memory, and To Kill a Tiger. I have not seen any of these films, so I can't honestly make a prediction for this one. I guess it's one of those things where I have to draw one out of a hat. So in my case, I think the one that's going to win is Bobby Wine, The People's President. But if I get this one right, it's Vegas odds in this case. I mean, it's a 20% chance. But Bobby Wine, The People's President, does have the distinction of being released on Disney Plus. So I think for that reason, and it's not a very good reason, but if I were to get into the mind of an Academy Award voter, they would probably vote for the one that is the most accessible and the one they've most likely seen. But the Academy voters don't necessarily see every movie that's nominated. And I know that as a fact. So, best documentary feature. My prediction is Bobby Wine, the People's President. But honestly, I don't know. I totally expect to get this one wrong. And if I get it right, that just means that I am a very good guesser. Welcome back to Words on Film, the spoken word show dedicated to moving pictures. I am your host and movie critic, Dan Burke, continuing with my predictions of the Oscar winners. The Oscars are going to be held on March 10th, 2024, and I'm very excited for them. They're kind of like my other Super Bowl. And unlike the Super Bowl, in the case of the Oscars, there are competitors upon whom I am rooting. And I'm going to start with the category of Best Achievement in Directing, which I was thinking of doing after the acting categories, but since the category is in front of me, I might as well tell you what the nominees or who the nominees are. So for Best Achievement in Directing, the nominees are Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer, Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest, Justine Triet for Anatomy of a Fall, Martin Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon, and Yorgos Lanthimos for Poor Things. So I've told you before what I think should have been nominated, and it's great to see a woman in this category, but I do think that the Best Achievement in Directing should go to and will go to Christopher Nolan for Oppenheimer. Because Christopher Nolan has been relentless in his movie making. And what's interesting is he's made some commercially successful movies like the Dark Knight trilogy, but even in between the chapters of the Dark Knight, he created Inception, which was an amazing film. And I think this is Christopher Nolan's year because not only was Oppenheimer an amazing film, it was also an important film. And Martin Scorsese could potentially pull off an upset for Killers of the Flower Moon or Jonathan Glazer for The Zone of Interest, but I think this is Christopher Nolan's one to lose. I think he's going to win, I think he will win, and I think he should win, and that's saying a lot considering that at least four out of these five nominees deserve to be here and directed amazing films themselves. Now on to the acting categories. I'm going to start with the supporting actors, beginning with the category of Best Performance by an Actress in a Supporting Role. For this category, the nominees are America Ferrera for Barbie, Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers, Danielle Brooks for The Color Purple, Emily Blunt for Oppenheimer, and Jodie Foster for Naiad. And I said those in alphabetical order by film, not by the actress's name. But in any event, who I think will win, who I think should win, are both the same. It's Divine Joy Randolph for The Holdovers. All these other actresses, I guess probably with the exception of Jodie Foster, because I haven't seen Naiad, but they all did an amazing job. I think America Ferrera does have the potential to pull off an upset here. But the reason she might not is because America Ferrera was not nominated for any other awards for Best Supporting Actress in the other ceremonies, like the Golden Globes, the BAFTAs, the SAG Awards, the Critics' Choice. But I do think she deserved to be nominated, and I'm thankful she was. But Divine Joy Randolph had the best performance by a supporting actress of the year in The Holdovers. She played someone who was not only probably underappreciated and overlooked at the private school at which she worked, but she also played someone whose son died in the Vietnam War, and she's dealing with that grief in addition to reluctantly being part of a dysfunctional family temporarily during the Christmas holidays, where she, a teacher, and a student are forced to stay on campus while everyone else is off for Christmas break. I think Divine Joy Randolph turned in the best performance by a supporting actress of the year. I said when I saw The Holdovers that not only was The Holdovers my favorite film of the year, but Divine Joy Randolph deserved to at least be nominated, if not win. Compared to the other nominees, I think she deserves to win, and I think it's hers to lose, especially considering that she won the Golden Globe, the BAFTA, and many other awards for her performance deservedly. Now on to Best Performance by an Actor in a Supporting Role. The nominees are Mark Ruffalo for Poor Things, Robert De Niro for Killers of the Flower Moon, Robert Downey Jr. for Oppenheimer, Ryan Gosling for Barbie, and Sterling K. Brown for American Fiction. The actor who I think will win and should win for this category is Robert Downey Jr., who plays Louis Strauss, who is J. Robert Oppenheimer's adversary. Now, the reason I say that Robert Downey Jr. should win for this award is not for justification for when he was nominated previously for playing Charlie Chaplin or for playing a cocky Australian method actor who has the audacity to dye his skin black to portray an African American in Tropic Thunder and didn't win for those years. Actually, I mean, he was up against very strong competition for that. This is not justification for those other losses. I'm saying this because Robert Downey Jr. turned in the best performance of the year as somebody who gave J. Robert Oppenheimer a chance in his creation of the atomic bomb, but also went on to resent Oppenheimer for his scientific achievements. And it was a very complex role and one that Robert Downey Jr. not only shined in when he was speaking, but there are also some scenes where he looked a certain way and you could practically read Robert Downey Jr.'s mind in these scenes, particularly in one pivotal scene in Oppenheimer where J. Robert Oppenheimer was having a private conversation by a lake with none other than Albert Einstein. And then Louis Strauss, Robert Downey Jr.'s character, comes to speak to J. Robert Oppenheimer, and he tries to be nonchalant about it, but you can tell from his looks that there is a lot going on in his mind, and none of it is praiseworthy. I think Robert Downey Jr. turned in the best performance by a supporting actor of the year, and these other four actors, maybe not Mark Ruffalo, but Robert Downey Jr., Ryan Gosling, and Sterling K. Brown in particular turned in great performances in their respective movies, but this is Robert Downey Jr.'s to lose, and I think he's going to win this one. On to Best Performance by an Actress in a Leading Role. The nominees are Annette Bening for Naiad, Carey Mulligan for Maestro, Emma Stone for Poor Things, Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon, and Sandra Hüller for Anatomy of a Fall. So a lot of people are thinking that this is going to be either Emma Stone's win for Poor Things or Lily Gladstone's win for Killers of the Flower Moon. And each of them have won awards at various other movie award categories or award ceremonies in this category for this film. And at the Golden Globes, Lily Gladstone won Best Actress in a Leading Role for Drama for this movie, and Emma Stone won for Best Actress in a Leading Role, Comedy or Musical. So talk about being head-to-head on this one. I can't speak for Annette Bening in Naiad because I haven't seen the film. Apparently, I'm not the only one. But I think the actress who will win and who should win, and I'm going to go out on a limb here, is Lily Gladstone for Killers of the Flower Moon. And I'm not just saying that because it's significant that Lily Gladstone is the first Native American from the United States of America to be nominated for Best Actress in a Leading Role. Previously, the actress who was in Roma, who was Yala Aparicio, was nominated, and she is technically indigenous, albeit from Mexico. So Lily Gladstone might not be the first Native American if you count Native Americans being from North America as opposed to the United States of America, but it's still significant. But I still think that Lily Gladstone turned in the best performance of the year, and even though her acting isn't as extensive as Leonardo DiCaprio's, Robert De Niro's, and the plethora of other experienced and great actors in Killers of the Flower Moon. Lily Gladstone held her own during this. And to Emma Stone's credit, I think she definitely turned in a bold performance, but again, the editing of Poor Things ruined it for me, and I initially thought, when I first saw Poor Things, that Emma Stone was playing a mentally challenged person. So maybe that clouded my judgment of Emma Stone's performance in that film. I like Emma Stone. I think she's an amazing actress. She deserved to win for La La Land, but I don't think she necessarily deserves to win the Oscar for Poor Things. So I'm rooting for Lily Gladstone, and let's hope I'm right. And let you hope that let me hope that I'm right. Let me go with that. So now on to best performance by an actor in a leading role. The nominees are Bradley Cooper for Maestro, Cillian Murphy for Oppenheimer, Colman Domingo for Rustin, Jeffrey Wright for American Fiction, and Paul Giamatti for The Holdovers. One of the biggest things about this category is American Fiction was my second favorite film of the year. The Holdovers was my favorite film of the year. So I'm thinking that Paul Giamatti should win for Best Actor for playing what I think is the best role of his storied and prolific career. He plays a professor a teacher at a private high school that a lot of people don't like, including some administration at the school, and most especially his students, but he shows that there are layers to his personality throughout the film. And the more the film progresses, the more you get to know him better. And I think that you develop a lot of sympathy for him, even though you don't have a ton of sympathy for him at the beginning of the movie. But Paul Giamatti disappears into this role, and that's why it's my favorite performance of the year. And I think Paul Giamatti should win, but I also think that Cillian Murphy is probably going to win for Oppenheimer. And again, Jeffrey Wright is another actor I loved in American Fiction, and I think he turned in his best career performance as well, which is why best performance by an actor in a leading role in this year is probably the toughest for me. But I do also think that Cillian Murphy turns in a great performance here as somebody who is ambitious and then realizes later in the film, even in spite of some of the trouble he gets into by the House of Un-American Activities, that he has ambition, but then he has regret. And that regret he has to live with, J. Robert Oppenheimer probably did, for the rest of his life. I think Cillian Murphy, very much like Robert Downey Jr., turns in a very nuanced performance in this movie. And it comes from what is, amongst the other categories in the best performance by an actor in a leading role, probably going to be the most nuanced of the nominees. I think that Paul Giamatti should win for The Holdovers, but I think Cillian Murphy is going to win for Oppenheimer. Of course, we will wait and see. And now it's time for the Big Kahuna of Awards, the Best Motion Picture of the Year. And there are a lot of strong contenders here. In fact, I've seen all 10 of these movies, and 8 of them I absolutely loved. The other two were good, in my opinion, but not the best of the year. And those are the ones that I think are probably not going to win. And now that I realized something with 5 minutes left to go, I realized that I didn't go over what I think were the best songs and the best score of the year. So let me actually go to that category while it is fresh in my mind and just briefly read off to you what is nominated for Best Achievement in Music Written for Motion Pictures, the original score. The nominees here are American Fiction, Indiana Jones and the Dial of Destiny, Killers of the Flower Moon, Oppenheimer, and Poor Things. My prediction of what will win and should win here is Killers of the Flower Moon, because that had some unique music written by Robbie Robertson, whom Martin Scorsese had previously worked with in the movie The Last Waltz. And he turns in some great music here. That's what I think's going to win. For Best Achievement in Music Written for the Motion Pictures, the nominees are American Symphony for the song It Never Went Away, written by John Batiste and Dan Wilson. Barbie for the song For What Was I Made For, written by Billie Eilish and Finneas O'Connor. I'm Just Ken from the movie Barbie, written by Mark Ronson and Andrew Wyatt. The Fire Inside from Flamin' Hot, written by Diane Warren. And Wasahi for a Song for My People from Killers of the Flower Moon by Scott George. Of these five songs, I think What Was I Made For by Billie Eilish is going to win. And I think it should win, although I haven't seen American Symphony or Flamin' Hot. Those are movies that I will probably put on my list to be late to the party to see. Now, with that category out of the way, let me get into Best Picture of the Year, what I think will win and what I think should win. For Best Motion Picture of the Year, the nominees are American Fiction, Anatomy of a Fall, Barbie, Killers of the Flower Moon, Maestro, Oppenheimer, Past Lives, Poor Things, The Holdovers, and The Zone of Interest. What do I think should win for Best Picture? The Holdovers. What do I think will win for Best Picture? Oppenheimer. I think it's very obvious that Oppenheimer is going to win this year. It is one of the films that made a lot of money at the box office. Not that that should automatically consider it for the best film of the year, but it is a film that a lot of people saw. They sat through the 3 hours of it, which is usually financial suicide for a movie, but it worked very well for Oppenheimer. But the fact that they stayed in the theaters, presumably for 3 hours to see the film, is a testament to how great the film was. Plus, Christopher Nolan is a director, a screenwriter, and a producer who knows exactly what he's doing. And Oppenheimer raises a lot of timely questions with which we have struggled as a society in the nearly 80 years since the development of the atomic bomb, and what we're going to live with for the rest of our lives and then some. So I think for that reason, Oppenheimer is a very important movie. I don't think it is the best of the year, but it was when I went to do my top 10 best films of 2023. I thought it was one of the best of the year. I had it at number 5 on my list. The Holdovers, I think, is a movie that will stand the test of time, very much like Oppenheimer. It's a movie that says a lot about the human experience and also getting to know people who may seem like adversaries a lot better than you otherwise would. And I think The Holdovers is an important movie as well. And I think it's a movie that people are going to come back to every holiday season. I can practically guarantee it. But Holdovers is a movie that I think should win. Oppenheimer is the movie that I think will win. And those are my Oscar predictions for the year of film 2023.
Well, that's all the time I have for this episode of Words on Film. I always love talking about movies, and I hope you liked what you heard. If you did, please subscribe and rate the show and leave comments if you can. I would love to get your feedback, even if it's more criticism than praise. This has been Words on Film. I'm Dan Burke, and until my next episode, I'll see you at the movies.